Breaking news, the ACLJ launches petition to stop Biden's IRS power grab.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, welcome to Seculo. We are taking your phone calls to 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We are launching a petition. It's up at aclj.org to stop and also just keep educating Americans about this power grab by the IRS. Think about, again, the $80 billion, $87 billion, 80,000 new IRS agents. And they tell you they're not trying to go after the everyday American? You wouldn't need 80,000 new IRS agents to go after the top 1% and make sure they were paying their fair share of taxes and following the rules of the tax code. You wouldn't need 80,000 new people. You need maybe no new people. You could just focus in on that group. This is a complete IRS takeover of everyone's personal life. We talked about this, the phony idea of moving it from $600 to $10,000. Folks, I mean, think about it. If you're living on Social Security right now, you're spending $10,000 in a year.
Yes, you know, because it's aggregate. It's not one-time transaction.
Over a year. So it's not, when they say that they're going after the top 1%, this is about the highest earners, they're already watching the highest earners with big transactions.
Of course.
This is to go after the everyday citizen, and at the same time, they want to change the rules about going after and looking at you for political purposes or because of different beliefs you might have, which is exactly what we fought against a decade ago fighting the IRS.
Yeah, and also at the same time, let's remember this. You've got $80 billion is in the proposal for the increased budgeting for the Internal Revenue Service, 80,000 new employees. And under H.R. 1, which the president said yesterday, right, Will, that there would be in favor of no filibuster. Take a listen to this.
But when it comes to voting rights,
is equally as consequential.
When it comes to voting rights, just so I'm clear, though, you would entertain the notion of doing away with the filibuster on that one issue. Is that correct?
And maybe more.
Yeah, well, that's great. Except in that one issue tucked away, by the way, is the Lerner rule, which says the IRS cannot target groups based on their ideology. But under the H.R. 1, and it has nothing to do with voting rights here, the President Biden saying, I would be in favor of doing away with the filibuster, and then let's go ahead and let the IRS target citizens again, Andy, which now you've got this potential conflict between a law signed by the president and a court order that we won.
Well, we did win. The U.S. District Judge Reggie Walton entered an order consented to by the Internal Revenue Service in which they said they would stop this conduct of targeting organizations which are conservative, faith-based, Christian, whatever it is, ideologically. They signed that order. The judge ordered them not to do that anymore. They, in fact, apologized for it. Now they're trying legislatively to undo what before a co-equal branch of government they agreed no longer to do. I would argue that if they proceeded in the fashion that they're talking about, they're in contempt of Judge Walton's order, and I would pursue them for contumacious conduct in the federal district court in Washington.
Folks, this is, again, it's something we're taking very seriously. We always have at the ACLJ. And again, you can go to aclj.org now and you can take action on this. I think you've got to educate your friends and family about this. We want to take your questions. If you got questions about it, 1-800-684-3110. Take your calls about this. There are a lot of legislative tricks they're using behind the scenes to get this to pass, including trying to misinform you, trying to make it sound like, $10,000 transaction. So I don't know how many Americans are being misinformed by that when they really think about it.
Thing.
And even if it was,
yes,
think about over the year, there's probably one transaction that you've got to do.
IRS the authority to review every American citizen's finances.
Without getting any kind of court order.
No probable cause, no court order. We have to stop it. That is the goal of the American Center for Law and Justice. Legislatively, legally, if we have to, because we've got the consent orders. But look, we've got to stop this. So that's why the fight on this is so intensive right now. And when we get back from the break, we're going to talk to Than Bennett to see exactly where this is. But I want to be clear. We have to be prepared to really fight. I mean, really fight, folks. That's why we have a petition up at aclj.org. If you've dealt with the IRS on these kind of things, give us a call at 1-800-684-3110. 800-684-3110. And support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Secular, we are taking your phone calls to 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Thad Bennett, Washington, D.C. Because, Thad, I think what people are trying to figure out throughout this whole process is where things actually stand. We hear about the meetings the president's doing. We see the town hall last night trying to sell this to the American people and put pressure on people like Senator Joe Manchin. But where does all this stand, both the reconciliation, the idea for this, the budgeting, and also then, of course, H.R. 1, the Voting Rights Act?
Yeah, there's a lot of movement on both of them, Jordan, and people really need to pay attention to what's happening behind the scenes. There's a lot of bills that could get pushed forward, have votes on, but Jordan, as you well know, those are all shell bills. Those are bills to try to get the United States Senate on the issue, and then the negotiations that take place behind the scenes would actually take the place of those bills. So just a quick update on both of them. The reconciliation bill, which is this giant, you know, up to $3.5 trillion spending bill that the IRS snooping provision would be in there. Jordan, I actually think they're getting a little bit closer to getting that to the floor of the United States Senate for a debate. A lot of the news is covering just that top line spending dollar figure. Not enough people are focusing in on the substance of the bill, including this snooping provision. The deadline, Jordan, that Speaker Pelosi had set for that was October 31st. But I'm here to tell you that's about the fourth deadline she set. So it could go past that. But I do think they're getting closer to considering that. But quickly, we did see quite a bit of development on the voting rights bill. You played in the first segment of the broadcast the president saying he would be open to ending the filibuster for that legislation. Jordan, there was another test vote on that voting rights bill just this Wednesday. It was the third iteration of it. And again, the substance is being negotiated behind closed doors. Here's the significant development, Jordan. Joe Manchin voted for cloture. He voted to move to that bill. So the Lois Lerner rule, that's front and center right now.
Yeah, I mean, why don't we call it the IRS Empowerment Act? I mean, that's really what this is. I'm looking at the headline from the Wall Street Journal editorial board. The $10,000 IRS target tax dragnet. Treasury wants to snoop on bank accounts to trigger more audits. Now, the truth of the matter is I want to be careful on this $10,000 number that they keep throwing around, because as Professor Hutchison said yesterday, and I think it was bears repeating today, that is not what the number really is. It's a $10,000 aggregate. It used to be $600. It was the proposal per transaction. And then we went and did a congressional hearing on how ridiculous that was. And then this one, they come back and say, oh, $10,000. But then they slip in a word in the course of a year. So it's real. So it goes from 600 to 800.
Absolutely. So the average American family spends approximately $1,000 to $1,200 a month on food, clothing, and shelter. And so this proposal by the Democrats in Washington would capture virtually every single American and subject them to snooping, or better said, spying by the IRS. And then the IRS could then examine your transaction. So, for instance, if you make a charitable deduction of $100 a month to an organization that the IRS disfavors, they could then challenge that and then demand a repayment of taxes and penalize you. So at the end of the day, this would shrink the capacity of average working class people in the United States, for instance, to give donations to 501c3 organizations, to give donations to the ACLJ, to give donations to their church. So at the end of the day, everything you and I do would be scrutinized by bureaucrats who live in the bowels of Washington, D.C. And I don't think that is a good move. So I think all Americans need to be energized to oppose this outrageous intrusion by the Democrats in our own private lives. The Democrats want access to data with no probable cause, no warrant, no court order. Nothing. Basically, they say that every single thing that you do as an American citizen on a given day is subject to their approval.
All right, let's go to the phones. Pam's calling to North Carolina on line 5. Hey, Pam, welcome to Seculo. You're on the air.
Thank you very much. I have a comment and a question.
Sure.
First of all, even though this bill is being created by the Democratic administration, this is not a political bill. This is affecting, as you have said, every American. And I have seen already that this has caused a panic environment where people have already started withdrawing their savings and whatnot from banks, credit unions, and investments.
Yeah, and we're not calling on people to do that. Here's what we're calling on people to do. You got to stop it. I mean, this is an encroachment into, without, as Harry just said, without probable cause, without due process, with nothing. And now, Andy was an assistant U.S. attorney. He was in charge of the criminal division for the U.S. attorney's office in Atlanta, where they had money laundering cases and things like that. And you had a probable cause, and you had to get warrants. You didn't just tap into somebody's checking account to see what was up that day.
That's absolutely true, Jay. If we had some kind of an idea that there was illicit activity going on in an account, such as drug laundering money, this is the particular focus. It was drug laundering money, cash that was going into an account, or money that was illicit funds from overseas organizations or overseas tax sheltered entities, then we would take that information, we would put it in the form of an affidavit, go before a United States magistrate, present the information in the form of a sworn statement, and ask for a search warrant to go into the account. And the magistrate would either grant the search warrant or deny the search warrant. That's how you do it. That's what the Constitution says, that the people shall be secure in their person and in their papers and in their private transactions, and that any time that the government, which is not our friend, by the way, the people and the government are not synonymous, the Democrats notwithstanding, anytime the government wants to start looking at your money and looking at how you spend your money, because that's what Senator Cornyn said, that's not only do they want to know where it comes from, now they want to know where you spend it. But the way you do that is you go to the judge and you let the judge decide whether the government has the right to get in your face or not.
And of course, Jordan, if it's just ordinary spending in the course of people's lives, no judge would authorize that. So they know that.
Yeah, that's right. You could never get this in court. So, but if you could do this through law, and the idea is that so dual track this, you could, on the one hand, they're going to have access to everyone's bank account. I mean, you could what they'll try to sell it to you is that, well, we're not going to count your Social Security when it comes in, but it goes out. You have to spend whatever resources you have. You have to pay the bills. So over a year, I mean, try to find people who aren't spending an aggregate of $10,000 in an entire year. But on top of that, if they pass the HR1 bill, if that moves forward, not only can they get into everyone's bank accounts, but they can start auditing people because of their political views or their beliefs or the organizations that they belong to. We got a call about that, too. Let's go to Warren in Idaho online, too. Hey, Warren, welcome to Secular. You're on the air.
Hi, Warren.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. Appreciate what you guys do.
Yep.
And that is my question in listening to it is, you know, upper middle class, lower upper class, what can they do to small businesses that tie to the church? And how can we stop them from being able to do that?
Well, let me tell you this. It's a great question, Warren. I appreciate you calling in. Number one, you're entitled to a tithe to your church. Your church is automatically exempt under Section 508 of the Internal Revenue Code, period. So they have no right to come in and question your church. Do they sometimes? Yeah, but we've handled those cases and we win. But what we don't want to do here is allow a precedent where they have unfettered access. That's what Andy was talking about. It's unfettered access into your accounts. And that, Harry, is where the danger is. It's just this kind of open-ended, here's $80 billion, go hire 80,000 agents, let's see what happens.
Absolutely. And the ACLJ has had experience with IRS intrusion. Basically, the IRS, notwithstanding the consent decree, the Lerner Rule consent decree that was signed with the ACLJ, the IRS has gone back to its old tricks even without the passage of this law. And so imagine how the IRS would be empowered to scrutinize virtually every single transaction that it simply does not like. So it would look at the political focus of an organization. It would look at the religious focus of an organization. Keep in mind, recently the IRS declared that Bible reading or an organization that supported Bible reading was indeed a Republican organization. This is nonsense, and it's nonsense on steroids, and I would encourage every listener to get engaged and to help stop the passage of this proposal.
Jordan, I do want to continue to hear. We're going to be joined by Rick Rennell, our senior advisor on in national security, global affairs, those kind of things, and we're going to get into a situation in Russia. But I do want to hear from people that have concerns about this at 800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We'd like to hear from you. What do you think about this situation with the IRS? Maybe you've had dealings with them. 1-800-684-3110.
Yeah, we'll be right back. And remember, we've got the petition up. It's at aclj.org. If you go there right now, it'll say, around the right of the homepage, stop Biden IRS from spying on your bank account. ACLJ.org. Sign that petition. Share it with your friends and family. Over 200 members of Congress have spoken out. You can speak out as well and do something about this at ACLJ.org. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
to Seculo. Rick Grinnell, our senior advisor for foreign policy and national security, is joining us now. He's got a new piece up at ACLJ.org. The Unholy Alliance reemerges and expands as Russia reasserts its influence in the Middle East. Rick, we were talking about this earlier in the week, that usually when people are trying to say Russia, 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 you say, let's look towards China and these bigger threats. But now Russia really starting to meddle once again in the Middle East. They're also they've left their coordinating office. Explain to people about that move too, because that was something I found unique right in the beginning of your piece.
Yeah, look, I think the Biden administration is making it really easy for the Russians to get big wins here. And by vacating leadership in the Middle East, suddenly now the Russians are jumping to fill it. And what recently happened, which is very troubling, is the Russians have an office in Brussels coordinating, being able to communicate with NATO members. And they've closed that office. There's been a back and forth about scandal about spying and who's been spying on who in Brussels at NATO. And NATO has accused the Russians of placing some spies there, and they kicked them out. And Russia has retaliated by closing their office at NATO, which I think, obviously means that there could be a way to have miscommunication, lack of information, and that could spell disaster.
You know, Rick, you mentioned Brussels. So, you know, as you know, we've been to Brussels a lot, especially when it comes to the International Criminal Court. But people don't understand the damage that could come out of Brussels. I mean, that the especially as it relates, you know, to Europe, Middle East. But explain to people the kind of the hub of what's going on there. You, of course, with your work at the UN, you know this. But explain to people what the significance is of what goes on there.
Well, look, first of all, if you think of Europe as United States, and some people like to say it's the United States of America and the United States of Europe, and you have all of the different parts of Europe coming together, they come together in Brussels. And that could be known as the capital of Europe. Certainly the leadership is based there. And Brussels is a feel, as you know, Jay, of every European country has its flavor in Brussels. It's a very interesting city because of that. But the power base of all of the different European nations is right there, and they fight out the EU policy. And so it can be very important to be there. I've traveled there to argue in front of European Commission to try to have NATO spend, its time convincing the different members of Europe to pay its fair share. Obviously, the Germans were at the top of that list.
You know, so it's interesting. Both Rick has had obviously significant experience there. We've had significant experience. Very rare, by the way, that you would find in one organization people have had this kind of global experience at those institutions. I want to pivot to something for a moment here, Rick, and that is this IRS Empowerment Act, I call it, which is this idea that first it was going to be any transaction of $600 was going to be now subject to being reported by the banks to the IRS, which, by the way, the banking industry was pitching a fit over too. They don't want to have anything to do with this. And then they said, well, we'll make it $10,000. But then it was $10,000 in the course of a year. So it really just moved it up from $600 to $800. You were the director of national intelligence. I mean, you know about spying. We're not going to get into any of that in national intelligence. But this looks like getting the IRS into every American citizen's life with no probable cause, no court to protect, nothing.
A lot of people in America make more than $10,000 a year.
Yeah.
And if we're going to suddenly have the IRS having access to your spending habits, I think it's a disaster. It's very un-American, if you think about it.
Sure is.
We're supposed to be the country that values individual liberty. And this is a direct assault on individuals' liberty. And so I think that if you're listening to us right now, you need to speak out against this. You need to call your representative. You need to do everything you can to highlight the fact that the big hands of the IRS coming into your bank account is unacceptable.
Well, the difference between the intel work and the IRS work is that the intel work usually can't be used against in court.
Right.
But this is open-ended. I mean, this is why they're doing this, to go after individuals And on the same time, you know, looking at trying to greenlight an ideological check by 80,000 new IRS agents. Rick, I mean, you were overseeing the entire intelligence community. To a power move like that for an agency to add 80,000 new employees at one time, that's more than significant in Washington. That makes it probably the most powerful entity in Washington, D.C.
I'm glad you used the word power grab, because that's exactly what it is. It is a power grab by an arm of the government that has a lot of already has a lot of power. Think about getting audited and how they go through every single receipt and they question everything and they question your motives. And that's not what we've designed this country to be like. We have designed a system so that individuals have the power and the government works for us. But this move is really flipping it around. It's the government coming after the people.
You know, I made a statement. I want to play it again. And you've run big institutions of government. But this was from the hearing that we had before House Ways and Means Committee just at the end of September. And it's amazing how much attention this has gotten since then, which is great. But here's what I said.
I have said in 2015, and I'm going to unfortunately have to repeat it again today, despite the fact that we have a consent decree entered into federal court dealing with the IRS's targeting of the conservative groups and the Tea Party groups and pro-life groups, that I believe the IRS is institutionally incapable of self-correcting.
And that's kind of the last question I wanted to ask you, Rick, and that is, you know, you got these agencies, you've run them. I mean, and you know, people laugh about the deep state stuff, but we know it's true. I mean, we've dealt with, Lord knows, I've dealt with it for the last 5 years. But these institutions, some of them just, they can't self-correct.
No. And let's be really blunt and honest about this. When you have institutions that are getting more power and more people to do forensic look at American, the way that that's going to fundamentally shake out is that conservatives are going to be targeted. We've seen that in DOJ. We've seen that at the FBI. We know that this is coming. And so I think you've got to push back now, and you've got to really sound the alarms that, you know, adding more power to the IRS is un-American.
Rick, it's always great to have you. And let me encourage people to check out your new piece up at aclj.org. The Unholy Alliance reemerges and expands as Russia reasserts its influence in the Middle East. And again, a big part of this, too, is that Russia is being allowed to assert this kind of influence in the Middle East.
One quick thing here with Rick, just as we close out. Rick, you've been very good at this. The American people have to stay engaged on these issues. You've got to keep engagement here because, like you said earlier in the piece that ran, if it's out of the news, doesn't mean it's out of the way. And I think we've got to be clear on that. We've got to stay engaged.
Well, one way to do that is just to keep listening to ACLJ. I know that's a shameless plug, but we're covering these issues. We're talking about them in detail. You're getting more analysis than just a quick little hit on TV. And that's what I think people need to do. Tune in, turn in, educate yourself, go online and read about these issues in detail.
Thank you,
Rick. All right, folks, we come back. Second half hour coming up, aclj.org. You can find the new piece by Rick there. You can also sign the petition to stop this IRS power grab. That's at aclj.org. We'll start taking more of your phone calls, too. We come back, your experience, with the IRS. The idea, remember, the whole goal of this, like Rick said, is to create more audits. It's to go after more Americans, audit more Americans. It's not the top 1% who've got tons of people advising them on their taxes. It's you. That's who they're going after. It's middle-class America. We'll be right back.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.